for life. The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway here in downtown. I can't. All right, this is my third try. I'm not going to try anymore. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted, where everything is unscripted, including our intros.
And we tried.
For the first time in almost a year and a half, I want to say, for the very first time in a year and a half, this is my third try trying to do a simple intro that I've done close to 300 times now. And I can't stick it. So I can stick it, and I'm not going to try it again. Hey, Podzilla fans, welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network, starring me, your host for tonight, Shannon Young, Asa Gray down at the end.
Yes.
Allie Hebert next to me.
Hi.
I thought that they had low energy, and then I started talking. I have no energy, and I don't know why. I was perfectly fine up until I woke up this morning. And it's been downhill ever since. It is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It is, what, Wednesday? It's Wednesday. It's June 29th. And we're still just a little bit under a week away from the 4th of July. I'm very excited about it. I love the 4th of July. I love fireworks. Things that go boom.
And honestly, you know, but there's another event happening on the 4th of July.
There is another event.
That just might replace the 4th of July, the Independence Day, as being the premier celebration across the nation.
Because what are you going to do? Are you going to celebrate something that happened like 7,000 years ago? Or are you going to celebrate something that's happening this year?
Right now.
Right. Well, not right now.
I mean,
in a couple days.
If you're listening to this on July 4th, then
right now.
Or if you're thinking about those beans, you're already celebrating.
We're always thinking about
We had beans. A question from Ethan Craig Miles for last night's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, which he just posted 26 minutes ago. Ethan, you sweet, sweet darling.
Is this question about time travel?
No. But he asked, first off, does 2 plus 2 equal $50? No, but you know what? Go for it. Whatever makes you happy.
You do you, homie.
He also said, also, why are you thinking about those beans? Ethan, let me take a second out to tell you why I'm thinking about those beans. If you're thinking about the beans, you've already lost the beans.
Is it the game?
Remember the
game? Yeah.
You guys remember the game?
Yeah.
Allie, you knew the game?
Yes, I knew the game.
I hated the game.
Everyone hated the game.
And then everyone played it. So we're doing the Bean Festival on the 4th of July, 709 Broadway, Cape Gaming Grounds. Bring in, here's the idea we had. Bring in canned goods, fruit, non-perishables, or is it perishables? How does it go? Is it non-perishables?
Non-perishables.
Bring those in. Tell me, because I'm going to be the one working, Mr. 100 himself, tell me I'm thinking about those beans. And here's what you're going to get. You're going to hand me that non-perishable item. I'm going to hand you a can of beans, and you're going to get a discount on your purchase.
And then those items would go to a food pantry.
Those items are going to go to the needy. Yes. So
the way that he led that in, it was just in my head. You just have like a surplus of beans at your apartment. You're trying to just trade those out for other like
for better food.
You're hoping for like canned peaches, like someone bringing some corn. Like
I love canned peaches. Those are so good in pineapples. If you bring in like pizza or Taco Bell, I mean, I'll take it. I'll give you beans. But I'm going
to
eat it.
I'm
going to eat it on the spot. And that's just the way it is. Anyway, had a thought. Now that thought's gone. So, yeah, that is happening next week on the 4th of July, the Bean Festival. Oh, we do have some special guests. We're going to have some great bands here in the store live playing. Primate Example is going to be here. Bonus Jovi is going to be here. Master P and Yellow Card all are going to be here. Aww. Not the Yellow Card you know. It's actually they're called Red Card. It's... We're going to talk about wrestling. Professional wrestling. And we got a humdinger of a week. There's some significant things to talk about. So we're going to do that. First off, if you watched Raw and you go back last week and listen to last week's show, which was much better already, we asked the question of how is the WWE going to handle Roman Reigns' suspension on Monday Night Raw? Will they acknowledge it? Will they not acknowledge it? We had our thoughts and our theories, but we pretty much assumed that they were just going to sweep this under the rug and they were going to keep Roman off TV for a month, have him come back to Battleground and fight for the title and probably win it. Well, that immediately went out the window. In one of the first segments on Raw, former WWE champion Seth Rollins, the architect of the Shield, came out and cut a promo immediately going into the Reigns situation.
Which, in the way they did it really bugged me. Not the fact
you said
which,
that.
Which I'll give them props for actually addressing it, like, because they absolutely could have just ignored it and just pretended it never happened. No one knows where Roman is.
I have a problem with it too. I want to see if my problem is the same as yours.
My problem with it is the way that Seth Rollins comes out and he talks about, he brings it up and he mentions, like, you know, how, but, and he does a great job of, like, making it about him. Like, how does this reflect on me? Cause I'm the guy that brought Roman in.
Right.
Like, that was great. The way that it, before it got, the way he got there of, I'm supposed to, they don't want me to talk about Roman Reigns. So I'm going to talk about Roman Reigns. Cut to like 45 seconds later. And it just so happens that his Roman Reigns' apology tweet is queued up and ready to go on the Tron.
Yeah.
Clearly, they were not wanting him to talk about it.
Right.
That's just insulting.
Here's my problem with it. Mine's a little bit different than yours. Him coming out and saying, let's talk about the Reigns scandal and all that, to how much of the crowd was he speaking to? Because how much of the crowd knew about the quote-unquote Reigns scandal, but how many of the kids, how many of the young people, how many people out there that don't hunt the internet, that don't go to the websites like we go to and research the news, how many of them were just going, what is he talking about? What Reigns scandal? How many people in that crowd had no idea what he was talking about? And they didn't address it. They didn't say what the, they didn't really say what the scandal was.
They did skirt around, like, yeah, they never
they
actually
danced
said,
around
they never
it quite
actually
a bit.
Said wellness. Yeah. Policy, I don't think.
No, I think he said something about he made a mistake. We all make mistakes, is what Dean Ambrose said. Mm-hmm. But again, no one clarifies.
Which,
so for the kid, it reminds me of WCW in its past its heyday, mm-hmm. when they would constantly address real situations on TV mm-hmm. as if it were a part of the show. But when you have a fake television show that is written and then you throw real things into it, you're only speaking to a very small demographic.
And, but like.
And confusing the rest.
See, and, cause I think what you're like, they're trying to get the best out of it without actually having to say what is going on. They're just addressing that there's some kind of real thing like WCW used to do all the time. They never actually came forward and said, oh, well, this is what happened that we're making fun. Like, this is what happened that I'm angry about. We're going to talk about on TV. What See, they should, if they wanted to do it, they should have actually acknowledged Roman Reigns was suspended
for
30 days. He will be, he shouldn't be like, and he raised really good arguments. Like, he should not be in the main event. Like, there's no reason for him to be in the main event now.
It felt like they were chastising him. Allie, you were about to say something. Before I jump into mine,
well,
I want to get what
your
you were thinking.
Thing is, the kids that are confused by it are just going to blow it off by realizing, oh, he did something wrong.
Well,
they're just going to be able to tell he did something wrong. The people that are going to be more interested are going to have their smartphones and be able to find out.
Or
right
they'll
away.
Just look it up immediately to see what.
And not just the kids, though. In my opinion, unless you're trying to embarrass Roman Reigns. The casual fan doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You could write this off as a storyline. You mm-hmm. could absolutely film one segment where Roman Reigns gets beat up or beats someone up. And yeah, it's not what really happened, mm-hmm. but most of those fans out there don't know or care what really happened. This is a TV show to them.
But at the same time though, like, so the fans like us who do know what happened. Are just gonna. It's like every time TNA goes to England or the UK,
and Jeff Hardy
and Jeff Hardy just happens like, boy, Jeff Hardy runs into some real bad luck.
Yeah, it's,
in his feuds a week before they have to fly out to Europe.
It's not a good situation.
And it's kind of just like on one hand, you're gonna end up insulting someone's intelligence. You're gonna insult the smart fans' intelligence because you're gonna pretend that he was attacked by Seth Rollins or whoever.
Yeah.
Or you're going to, insult the casual fans' intelligence by just assuming that you know what's going on with the suspension anyway. I think that's way less insulting because then you can acknowledge that this real life thing did happen, but we're not focusing on it as part of an actual story.
Acknowledging is fine, but when he just comes out and talks about it like everyone knows.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he came out and said, let's get the scandal thing out of the way.
Yeah, let's talk about Roman Reigns.
But they never addressed it beforehand.
Yeah.
Not once on TV did they address it. Did they say Roman Reigns has been suspended?
Well, it was the opening segment.
Like, yeah, but they had SmackDown. They had Raw last week to explain these things. Because as we know now, Roman Reigns was... They knew before the pay-per-view. So you have time to explain Roman Reigns has been suspended.
Right.
But they don't.
Make the news story and then do a segment about it.
And what's really shocking to me is not even so much that they acknowledge it, but it's how vicious they were about it. And I get Seth Rollins, he's a heel, so clearly he wants to do an insulting thing. But Stephanie McMahon, I mean, yeah, also a heel. Everybody insulted him, more or less. I mean, they called him out on it. Yeah. They didn't just go, okay, he got suspended. He's going to be gone for 30 days. They called him names. They made light of it. I mean, it really felt like they were rubbing salt in the wound.
The rumor coming out of Money in the Bank is that the match ending got changed because Vince McMahon was so upset at him. So Seth Rollins got the pin on Roman Reigns only to immediately lose to Dean Ambrose only because Vince was mad at Roman.
Right.
Otherwise, it would have just been Ambrose just gets added in as a triple threat match.
And Reigns would probably still be champion right now.
And then Rollins.
Oh, Rollins would have won the title regardless?
And Rollins takes the pin.
Oh, okay.
Or that, you know, maybe Reigns would have still been champion. Who really knows? But the reason that he took that first clean pinfall in however long.
Yeah.
Is added on as part of the punishment, but that's a rumor going around. There's no substantiating evidence to it.
Absolutely believable, but, though. Yeah,
especially when you consider Vince.
Yeah.
I don't know. And about, like, doing a storyline around the suspension, like, they made a very small, like, they started with it, but then it kind of moved on into its own thing, like with AJ Styles coming out saying, it should still be a triple threat match, and then
with him also saying, I mean, yeah. But what I took from that was that they, you know, the people were saying he doesn't deserve to be in here because he screwed up. Not because he wasn't a good enough wrestler or anything like that. No, they said he did something terrible. He's suspended. I should be in it, not him. Yeah. And again, for the casual fan, imagine you're a little kid. Or, and maybe I'm going off on this, but imagine you're a little kid and you actually are a fan of Roman Reigns because he does have his fans. Don't take that away from him. Yeah. And you're a little kid and you hear them saying these things about Roman Reigns. And then you go, what are they talking about? And you have to look to your parents and go, what are they talking about? What happened to Roman? Mm-hmm. Now the parents have to explain to the kid, well, he violated a wellness policy.
Right.
The kid doesn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's all things considered, like, it's better than having to hear, like, all these things about, like, Chris Benoit.
That, well, yeah.
And, like, having your parents have to explain that. Like, to me, it wasn't a huge deal. I'm not excited. I'm happy that they at least acknowledged it.
I am too. I just, they could have done a better job.
As opposed to just paving it over. I mean, it's WWE at this point. Like, them just acknowledging it is enough for me. I just really didn't like the whole, well, I can't talk about it graphic.
But here you
ready
go.
Ready to go.
But here you go.
Someone spent time on this.
Yeah.
And with the parents are probably just going to look at their kids and say, well, I guess Roman did something wrong and he got in trouble for it. And then turn it into a teaching.
Yeah, but you could have saved face with this, with the casual fan. You could have ran the angle. The smart fans know the truth, us. The casual fans follow the storyline. There's so many ways you could have done it. I don't think they did it the right way.
I think they did do it the right way because now it kind of even shows the casual fan that these rules are serious. Because you are the WWE champion, you're the guy on top, like, no, you're still susceptible to these rules.
And
I think that's a way better lesson than just, oh no, he got taken out by corporate Kane.
Do you really feel that they need to pull the curtain back so far on these kind of things? Again, it's a scripted TV show. If somebody on, what's a show you guys like? What's that stupid show you like that we watched the other day with the girl from Will and Grace? Murphy's Law?
No.
Death Wish? What was it called?
I don't remember.
Mysteries of
Lore
or something.
Because it was the first time I watched the show.
Let's say there is a scripted program and one of the people who plays the character gets in trouble for something. The characters never acknowledge on the show that the person behind the character got in trouble for something in real life.
Well, that's
sometimes they make jokes.
But that's
about
the difference.
It.
Like, I mean,
but there's a difference between jokes and flat out saying.
They did with Charlie Sheen in Two and a Half Men.
But not well. They didn't really do it on the show.
But the difference is you're comparing WWE to a scripted program, just like a regular TV show.
Because that's how WWE presents itself.
That's how they want it to be, but it's not that at all.
And they can't present themselves like that if they do things like this. You have to pick. Are you a scripted TV show? Are you entertainment? Or are you sports? If you can't do this
sports
and
entertainment.
That.
That's literally what they call themselves.
They put it together.
Sports entertainment.
They fixed it right before your very eyes.
I don't know. I don't see it as a big deal at all. Like, it's just, I was sure, I think it could have been handled better, but it's.
Here's something that's not going to work. We want to know what you think. Is it not a big deal? Do you agree with Asa and Allie? It's not a big deal. Do you think I'm right that they should have handled it better? Legitimately, let us know because we want to know what you think.
The suspension itself is a big deal.
It should have happened.
The way they're handling it is just them presenting it on TV is like, okay, because at the same time, you can't just have the number one guy disappear and not say anything about it.
I still feel
whenever Roman Reigns, especially whenever Vince McMahon takes the very poochy approach of when Roman Reigns isn't on TV, everyone should be asking, where's Roman?
Where's Roman?
Like, it's, you can't, and then you can't just have someone like that vanish. Even when he had that nose surgery. They explained it away with a beatdown.
And they could have written him out on this. They could have had Roman Reigns attack Seth Rollins. They could have had him attack anybody. They could have found a reason to go, this is why you're off TV.
Basically, you wanted to see an on-screen reason for his suspension.
I want a storyline.
You want a storyline reason for his being suspended.
Because part of the reason that WCW annoyed me so much towards the end, and if you're not a big WCW fan and you didn't grow up with it, which I don't know if you did. I'm not saying this to you specifically.
I did because I remember when it came on first.
And it was, and I watched it first and I recorded Raw. But part of the reason that I was so annoyed was there were so many times when something would happen. And they would say, okay, well, here's the scripted program, but that wasn't supposed to happen. That's off the script. I hate that because you're presenting this as reality, but the reality is the fake.
It all comes down to the suspension of disbelief to me. Like, you're supposed to think that, okay, this undead wizard is going to sit up from a chair shot, but then at the same time, you know that's like, these are just actors playing roles and
right.
I don't know.
Which is why I have a problem with them calling out the actor and saying, you got suspended. Here's the scandal. You're turning what happened in real life into a storyline. And I think my biggest problem with it is that you give no context to the storyline. You just go, here's the scandal everyone's talking about. No, everyone's not talking about it. A specific segment is talking about it. If you're going to present it as that, it needs to be something that everybody knows.
I still think that I don't think you're giving enough credit to the size of that specific segment. Like the internet wrestling community, like in the early 2000s, was much smaller than it is now.
That's true.
Whereas every kid and casual fan has access to WWE.com, the network. Like they may not all take advantage of it. But anyone with the, you know, I used to, before I got super into like, you know, ProWrestling.net and Dirt Sheet, stuff like that, I would go to WWE.com like probably once every couple days just to see if anything interesting
news
was put up.
Yeah.
That was the front page story on WWE.com.
It was.
It's, you know, it is a big story. And to me, I think it might just come down to it's just a personal taste.
It is. It is absolutely a personal taste.
So like, because to me, like.
And that's why I said, you know. What do you guys think? Yeah. You know, the listeners, what do you think about this? How would you like to have seen this handled? Text us. Allie, what's your phone number?
No.
So they can text you.
867-5309.
309. Yeah.
Why?
It's Tommy Two Tone. What's wrong with you? You don't like Tommy Two Tone?
Tommy Two Time. Two Time. Says everything two times. Two times.
So that's the opening segment.
Whee!
And that's all we're going to talk about on Raw?
Real quick, brief mention and shout out to close personal friend, Xavier Woods,
because he's a good guy.
Because the Wyatt Family New Day segment is working a lot better than it really should. Granted, I've only seen the WWE edit of the YouTube video that they showed. But them dressing up as the Wyatt New Day, dressing up as the Wyatts and doing the unicorn horns as the lantern. And Kofi having the hole through the sheet mask, amazing. Like they're doing great. And the
Biggie's fake beard,
And just them coming out and roasting on the Wyatts with Xavier Woods when he's like, okay, well, that's going to do it. You know, duh. And he goes, and no, we're doing it all night. And then Bray comes out.
Roast.
Xavier Woods could be playing this, and really all of them could be playing this so much more over the top.
Hammy.
And ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's the point of what they're doing. Kofi and Big E don't care. They're not scared. They're just having fun. Whereas Xavier Woods, you can actually tell, is legitimately disturbed and intimidated and
something's going
uncomfortable.
On.
Like yeah, it's it,
he
I
had a great facial expression.
He did, and he did. It was subtle, and it was just like his body language was just like intimidating.
Oh, speaking of his body,
oh my god!
Oh my god!
It's weird. Like it's only when you see him in clothes.
Yeah,
like that tank top. It's like no, yeah, his arms are huge. Sometimes he flexes on like up, up, down, down. And you're like, yeah, no, that's a big dude. It's like
when you see him wrestle and he's like in his normal outfit, he doesn't look as big. He looks like a smaller guy.
And maybe it's because he's next to like Big E.
Oh my God. So it's hard. Speaking of bodies, Big E in that, in that coveralls. Oh my Lord. I caught the vapors.
Ooh. My sauce.
Also, Bray Wyatt as Dusty Rhodes 2.0 with, tell me how the power.
As creepy Dusty.
Yeah. How does the power of positivity.
Oh, the power of positivity puts food on a man's table.
I started thinking about Dean Ambrose. Allie, did you know Dean Ambrose was the titty master?
What?
What do you mean was?
Oh, he still is.
He still is.
Do you not know the tale of the titty master?
No.
After the show.
No,
after the show.
Gosh.
Just, I mean, it's not a long story. Real quick.
Okay.
At a house show, someone took a picture, and on his wrist tape, titty master was written on him. And then, there was this thing where the Shield was about to make their entrance, or Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns were about to make their entrance through a crowd. And like, so all the people were like gathered around to watch him in the concession area, and people started chanting titty master. And it's one of the most likable Roman Reigns moments because he just like, Dean Ambrose is just like, he's trying to stay.
He's shrugging it off.
Like he's shrugging it off. He's not paying attention. He's getting pumped up. But Roman Reigns just like gets this real sheepish smile and turns and looks because people are filming. And he just turns and looks and he like nods.
He's
and,
encouraged.
Like,
yeah.
And he's like thumbs up, like keep it going, keep it going. Yeah.
And that's one of those times that you realize that Roman Reigns could be such a likable character,
yeah,
if he would just be himself, if they didn't try
to
script
would let him.
Yeah,
like this
yeah.
is again, like we say this almost every week. This is at no fault Roman Reigns,
except
his
for the suspension.
And that
apparently
could,
is his fault.
Could
but,
be so.
Could be.
But yeah,
yeah.
So the New Day Wyatt segment, like when you have those contrasting styles of over the top comedy act
versus over the top darkness,
supernaturally kind of themed, like really dark. Like,
yeah,
they're making it work a lot better than I expected it to. So
but I don't know who's the heel and who's the face in this.
I don't think there really is one.
I don't either.
I think they're presenting it as like, cause I asked you whenever you're like, oh, the Wyatts came back.
Right.
I assumed that they, when they interrupted New Day, it was as, they were as heels. But then you're like, oh no, Wyatt or New Day interrupted Wyatts.
Right.
Which I was like, that's interesting. So New Day aren't going to get booed. Wyatt had that amazing face turn right before he got injured, unfortunately.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
So I think they're kind of trying to maintain that until they do something just outright
evil.
Because, you know, he's appealing to the working man. Like, it's, there's no real.
And he's absolutely right. So this is my favorite kind of storyline.
And I think the reason that they're not going with the full-fledged heels is if they were, the Wyatts would have attacked New Day
yeah.
from behind by now.
Right.
Or it cost them a match or something.
And it's, I love this feud because I love the New Day and I love the Wyatts, obviously.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm sad about is that I wish we could replace Braun Strowman with
Luke Harper. Yeah.
I sorely miss Luke Harper. He's
yeah.
my favorite Wyatt other than Bray Wyatt himself. And Strowman still doesn't do anything for me. He's huge.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Oh, yeah. No, he's huge.
He's got the look.
I don't think he's nearly as bad as what a lot of, you know, especially like, and you know, the internet fans or
yeah.
like a lot of people who are just ready to naysay a lot of stuff. Like,
right.
I don't think he's as bad. I clearly know, you know, Luke Harper is legitimately great.
Luke Harper is amazing.
So.
Absolutely amazing.
Get well soon, buddy.
Speaking of big guys that, you know, just real quick, reports came out today. I don't know if you read this, that Ryback will more than likely be hitting the independent scene soon.
Yeah.
He's pretty much done with WWE. They have not talked since the contract dispute. So he's more or less gone from WWE. It's just a matter of time.
Surprise to no one.
And are you going to miss Ryback at all? I know you're not a fan of Ryback.
No, personally, no.
I mean, I know I have spoken highly of him in the past, but mm-hmm. I think you're the only one who knows, probably Allie too, that a lot of what I say is just to antagonize Dalton.
Yeah.
Because I see how upset he gets when I mention that Ryback does the knee in the corner better and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I never thought Ryback was amazing, but I think he has the look that he could make it big somewhere.
No, yeah.
You know. We're going to move on now that we talked about those particular things. You had this written down. We have a little schedule or a little thing here that Asa was kind enough to type up for us. Type up.
Yeah. Well, I should have, because then it would be readable.
I did ask what the HIAL was.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a little bit later. You got listed Ambrose's insane schedule. Now, I read about this on 411, but I didn't read too much into it. I know he's had a lot of matches since he won the championship, but you have it written down here 7 matches in 4 nights.
Yep. He did on Sunday. He competed and defended the WWE championship at 2 separate house shows
yeah.
in the same night. And you asked me, like, what do you think the deal is there? Like, I have a theory.
You had a theory, and I want to hear that theory.
It's also Reddit's theory, so it's not like...
Because I don't have a theory.
The theory is, this is Vince really putting him through the ringer to see, okay, well, if he's injury prone, let's hurt him. Let's see what he's got. Let's see if he can carry the company. Let's see if he can carry the belt. Without realizing that the fact that you have someone wrestling 7 times in 4 nights.
Yeah.
Unless they're like tag matches and he gets to sit on the apron until he hits his finisher, which these aren't. It's not what they're doing, I don't think. At least on a couple of them.
At least one. I think SmackDown, the dark match, or Raw, the dark match on Raw or SmackDown something was like a tag match.
But so it's like, this is how you get injuries.
Right.
Can you afford arguably one of your top most beloved baby faces right now to get hurt with a draft coming up? No, you can't. Like, I think this is just Vince kind of being a dick.
Even if you could afford it, you still shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Like, that is not how you... But,
I get it. I get it. Trial by fire.
Yeah.
It's a stress test.
Let, you know, that B-plus player Daniel Bryan got hurt, so let's see if you're any better than him.
And I know a lot of people out there are going, well, they're crazy, but that's a legitimate thing, that they were afraid to put anything on Bryan because they thought he was injury prone, and then when he got hurt, they used that as ammo for that argument. Well, we were right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hate most about things like this, and it used to happen with the ratings, too. When they put the title on someone that was not
an already like multi-time champion,
and the ratings would go down immediately. Camp WWE, no pun intended, would start thinking, well, that guy's not a draw, and they take the belt off him and put it back on Cena.
Yeah.
Because Cena's a draw. He is. Mm-hmm. But it's like they don't understand that if you don't give people time to evolve and to grow, not everybody's going to be Stone Cold. Not everybody's going to be The Rock.
No, yeah. A lot of it is very much knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah.
That they kind of...
Which, for some reason, listen to when it's that. But when people are booing Roman Reigns out of the building, they don't listen to those knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah.
They're like, stay the course. Eventually, they'll come to.
Yeah.
Which they didn't.
It's annoying.
When Seth Rollins was bad-mouthing Roman Reigns on Raw, crowd cheered him.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say, though, Dean Ambrose is an amazing... just wrestler.
He's a hoss.
He's a hoss.
Yeah.
There's like, he calls himself, especially like during that IC championship feud, like he called himself the Iron Man of WWE.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. If anyone can do this, it's Dean Ambrose.
He very much strikes me as a better wrestler. And I think Mick Foley would agree, but a better Mick Foley.
Yeah.
You know, like he's younger. He's got a better body, obviously. That's not taken away from Mick Foley, but just that insane work ethic.
Yeah.
And just go out there and fight every night.
And he has, like, you know, coming from like such matches like that he had in CZW.
Yeah.
You
know, John Moxley, right?
I think it was his name. Yeah. John Moxley.
Yeah.
You know, his body has gone through a lot, but it really kind of seems like he's the kind of person that can deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, I would not want to.
But he shouldn't.
No, but he absolutely should not have to, no.
That's like Mick Foley. Yeah, he can survive a toss off the cage, but why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, why would you do that to him? Allie, we just mentioned CZW. Can you give us a Jesus?
No.
Asa?
Jesus?
I can't.
You sound like an old Baptist preacher. Jesus, listen to. I love you.
Isn't that what Danzig is?
A Baptist preacher?
Yeah. Wasn't that his gimmick? I'm not familiar with CZW.
And why would you be? Also, talking about Dean Ambrose, they changed the championship name.
Yeah.
Is it just WWE Championship now?
Now it's just the WWE Championship. It's on the WWE website. It's an official, it came off of Monday, where a lot of people noticed that they weren't calling it the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Now they're just calling it the WWE Championship.
I don't like that. Here's why I don't like that. What are you going to call the SmackDown Championship?
World Heavyweight Championship.
Or did they officially announce that they're going to have 2 different champions?
Not yet, but at this point, it's...
Do you think they might make the champs pull double duty? And that's why it's just called WWE Championship?
That I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't, though. Like, I feel like if they weren't going to split, bring back, like, the big gold belt or even a new redesigned WWE Championship.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're going to do a World Heavyweight Championship for SmackDown. Because otherwise, like, why would you change the name? Then it would just be the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. It's both shows. It's
But what I'm wondering about, and I know this is just playing armchair booker or whatever, but if you call this title the WWE Championship, that sounds pretty final. That sounds like this is the WWE Championship.
I mean, that's
so what
they
do
did.
You name the other title?
That's what they did in the other draft. Like, when they first did the brand split
years ago.
It was the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship.
That just sounds so... Because you think they'd learn from their mistakes?
No, it's Vince. No.
Like, maybe we'll call this championship the Fighting Mongooses.
These are the same people.
That's a good name, right?
These are the same people that had to start contacting people in their 40s because they were like, all right, we're going to do a brand split. Crap, we have to fill 2 brands.
Well, where are they going to get the wrestlers, Asa? They don't just have wrestlers that they've let go in the past few months to fill the spots.
I know, right?
You got to get Stevie Richards.
I kind of want Stevie Richards.
Remember when
back.
He had that fantastic match with Triple H and Shawn Michaels
no.
for the title?
Oh, that's...
And when he slammed Andre? Great moments.
I remember that bit.
I actually like Stevie Richards a lot.
I
really like Stevie Richards. And what's really funny to me, this is a story that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this show, you probably know it. But when ECW was big, Allie, and this story is for you. When ECW was big, Extreme Championship Wrestling is what it was called. I'm saying like I'm speaking down to her, but she might actually not know what ECW is. Do you know what ECW is?
Yeah, you just told me.
ECW was basically like the underground wrestling federation at the time.
And that's the one that Paul Heyman founded and ran.
Yes. And it was extreme. I mean, it was violent. It was very adult-like when all of the shows at the time were very kid-oriented, you know.
It was the adult show before the Attitude Era kicked
in. Right. In fact, Attitude Era borrowed a lot from ECW. The big thing about ECW was it was the third biggest organization in the country, probably behind WCW and WWF. But they were still so low key that when you would like call to order merchandise and stuff like that, they actually had the wrestlers man the phones. So more often than not, you were talking to the wrestlers themselves.
If you're ordering a Dudley Boy shirt, you're probably talking to Raven.
Yeah.
Or Tommy Dreamer.
Or Stevie Richards or one of those guys.
Oh. Or they're the ones packaging everything up and
they did everything themselves. I just think that's a cool story.
It's sad because we could do a whole show on ECW.
We could. We could do a whole show on lots of federations.
Yeah.
Like, my love and hatred for WCW are strong. But we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the next note here. I kind of put these in an order that I particularly wanted. But since you're talking about the draft, mm-hmm. let's just mention that for a second. They are splitting the shows. They had a whole list of names that came out online last week, maybe the week before last, about these guys that were coming back or that WWE was talking about.
That they either had reached out to or were going to reach out to.
Like Stevie Richards.
Richards, MVP.
Couple of real names that were for sure. Some rumors like Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't you know that they came out a couple days ago and flat out said, no, Kurt Angle is not coming back.
And like we said last week, like this was just we're not saying we want you back. We're not saying we want you to wrestle if you do come back.
Yeah.
It's
a feeler.
Let's open the door and see what happens. Like, let's see how the talks go. My understanding of it, and this could be wrong and it's just speculation, Kurt Angle kind of like...
He ran with it?
He really ran with it a little bit more than he probably should have in a couple interviews.
Yeah.
And then...
Because he flat out said, I'm coming back. I might not make the draft, but I'll come back.
But he's done that before, too. Like, it's not the first time he's done that. Like, I'm definitely going back to WWE.
He stirs the pot constantly.
And so I think he kind of did that, and WWE... Shot him down and said, okay, we're not continuing talks with you.
Yeah. And also, from what I understand, from what I've read, and from my sources in the WWE, like 41 Mania, that a lot of the offers they're making to these older talents aren't good.
No, yeah.
They're very low ball.
They're low balling them, and it's kind of clear that, like, if someone like Stevie Richards comes back, it's not so he can be the top guy on SmackDown.
No, you're looking up at lights.
Yeah, it's...
Job Squad 2.0.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. These are which is nice to hear that they're going to be focusing on their younger talent that are there now.
Well, I mean...
But there are guys like MVP could absolutely have a top spot run.
Yeah. Or if they could manage to get the Hardys back, even though I'm not a big fan of Jeff Hardy, and my mm-hmm. love for Matt has certainly dipped in the past couple of years, but they're two legit guys who I could see running with the title too, or at least being in those main event feuds.
Mm-hmm.
But even when Stevie Richards was there normally, he was never a threat. The most he ever did was the Right to Censor, mm-hmm. which was an awful great angle.
Which was great.
And his run with Victoria was one of my absolute favorite pairings.
Yeah.
With Stevie Knight Heat and Victoria being kind of like the boss and him kind of following around. That was a great pairing. That was one of my absolute favorites.
I completely forgot about that until just now.
Love them. I loved her theme music too. It was by the two Russian girls.
Tattoo.
Whatever happened to them? I think one of them got married.
I was going to say, well, if they're gay and Russian, then probably not good things.
Oh. But do they smoke? Moving on.
Stop.
Moving on. Aside from Kurt Angle not coming back to WWE, Cody Rhodes was offered a Legends deal by WWE.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't understand that. Like, unless it's for marketing for like a video game.
Yeah.
Like, what? Are they going to sell all that hot Cody Rhodes merch that you never bothered to make for him?
Or that you never really gave him a chance to shine? So why would anyone want it? You hear about Legends deals all the time to people like Big Van Vader or Kevin Nash. But not Cody Rhodes. You're acting like Cody Rhodes is, you know, he's retiring soon. He's past his prime.
Yeah.
We're going to give him a Legends deal. No, Cody Rhodes is in his prime. He has so much to offer.
To me, I'm just like, so they already have the model and everything. They just imported from 2K16.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we could just put it in the game. I guess he'd probably want money for that. to offer him a Legends contract.
Give him some money and then get him on his way.
From what I saw, I think he turned him down too.
That's bad. Because I don't know many people that turned down the Legends contracts, even people that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. Like Macho Man had a Legends contract.
And I wonder if it's because, and he may not have turned it down. I might have misread misremembered.
It's what you want.
I kind of do.
You want someone to tell WWE middle finger, you know?
Especially Cody Rhodes is on such a hot streak on the independent right now because it's one of those things where every established veteran like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like Chris Jericho, Vader, like every name who knows what they're talking about, there has never been a negative word gone against Cody Rhodes by an industry insider.
Right.
Certain fans may not like him. Certain fans didn't like Stardust. Certain fans didn't like certain gimmicks.
Dashing.
But every single time that a wrestler has been asked about their opinion on Cody Rhodes as a wrestler, praise. Nothing but praise.
Yeah. Plus, he looked like $1 million.
100%.
Handsome guy. Great body. Great athlete. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those guys that you just can't understand how they don't make it work.
Yeah.
How do you not make that work?
You know how you make it work? You give him a microphone and you just let him wrestle and you go out there and just be like, okay, here you go. Do what you want.
Say what you will about 80s wrestling, but one of the great things about the 80s era, especially, was that there was very much a, here's a mic, go out there, talk. Mm-hmm. Sink or swim. Certain guys like Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Macho Man, they got over and they were some of the biggest stars ever.
Because they
ever.
Didn't have a room full of people writing what they had to say.
There wasn't a room full of writers saying, this is what your character would think.
Yeah.
And then the guy's going, no, I think I know what my character would think.
Like, especially like CM Punk, like when his documentary, which good luck finding now.
I saw it on Netflix.
It used to be on Netflix.
Yeah, and it was really good. Really good.
It's really good. But him talking about like a writer coming up and being like, okay, here's what you're going to say. And he's like, I wouldn't say any of this. Well, this is what we wrote. Like, no, this isn't me. I'm not going to say it.
Right.
And he just, you know, whether or not how he handled that professionally or not, but he was right. And
to be fair, though, I mean, in their defense, this is legit. Mm-hmm. CM Punk is very much CM Punk.
Yeah.
He is the character.
Oh, yeah. He's,
you know,
and, you know, I'm not just saying that, like, anyone can go out there unassisted.
Right.
Like, certain guys, I'm sure, can benefit from having something written out for them.
Yes.
But I think it was Stone Cold might have been like, give me bullet points.
Yes.
What is the message I need to convey?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to convey that message, but I'm going to do it my way.
That's just like this show. We have bullet points.
Yeah.
But we don't have anything written out because I don't want to read from a script.
No.
It sounds so forced. I tried once to read from a script. I actually wrote out an entire show. This is a true story. I wrote out an entire show and tried to record it completely scripted. Realized how awful it was. Just took the script and posted it on Blogzilla. Mm-hmm. I was like, here's the show. Here's the show I was going to read. Now it's just written.
Now you read it.
That's the fun of it. AJ Styles came into WWE at the Royal Rumble, and we all thought he came in like a wrecking ball.
Yeah. Huge reaction that you wouldn't have known because it's just a close-up. Roman Reigns' face.
Yeah.
The conspiracy,
still mad
man.
About that.
The conspiracy.
That ain't a conspiracy. That's just a burial.
It came out this week, or maybe it was last week, that AJ Styles was originally not meant to be a top guy. He was very much seen as a low carder, which we all kind of assumed, honestly. We had that fear. Because he was a TNA guy, because he was a Japanese guy.
I hoped that
he's not a Japanese guy. You get what I'm saying.
New Japan guy. I really hoped that they would know, like, okay, there's clearly he's not coming in for chicken scratch.
Right.
Like AJ Styles,
sign AJ Styles and then have him lose to Braun Strowman. You don't feed him to Rusev week after week, like poor Zack Ryder.
Not even that. I just mean, like, if they're going to spend the kind of money that I would assume AJ Styles is going to make in WWE, mm-hmm. that you can't just treat him like a mid-card. You can't just, you know, feed him to people like that. You can't just have him lose constantly.
Right.
But apparently, yeah, this report came out that they saw him as just a low-card guy who could eventually, let's see what he can do, go up to the mid-card feud. But then it turns out, oh, this reaction at the Royal Rumble and the reaction he was getting at house shows, having not really been on TV, blew them away. They had no idea that it was going to be like that, which, how could you not?
They were also at least smart enough to let him keep his name.
Yeah.
If they would have repackaged him,
that would have been
one
rough.
Of the biggest mistakes they've ever made.
But again, you run into that whole, like, but then they want the rights.
They don't own the name. Yeah.
So.
And that's a serious thing, because here's another ECW story for you. When the Dudleys were in ECW, that's where they started, ECW. Mm-hmm. They went to WWF at the time, now WWE, obviously, and they kept the name Dudley Boys. Well, somewhere in that time, the WWE copyrighted the name Dudley Boys, even though that was their gimmick. They had been using it for years. Mm-hmm. So when they went to TNA, they could no longer use their own name.
They could no longer be, they couldn't even be Bubba and Devon.
No, they switched to, what was it? It was Bully Ray.
They were Team 3D.
Yeah.
Because the 3D was the name of their finisher.
And they were
anyway.
Brother Ray at first
and
Devon.
It was Brother Ray and Brother Devon.
Because Devon's his actual name, I think. So I don't think they can.
That I'm not sure if I'd have to look it up. But yeah, I think there was some way, like, so he was able to be Devon, but they weren't Devon Dudley. He wasn't Brother Ray Dudley. Right. It was just Brother Ray, which was kind of a throwback to their original ECW because the Dudley Boys was part of a huge stable.
Brothers by different.
They were all a family. It was a family.
Don't ask. It wasn't that good.
Yeah. Don't. And they're the best ones. Well, Spike.
Little Spike Dudley.
Little Spike.
LSD. Do you get it? Do you get it?
I got it.
We've mentioned this show with this movie on the show before, and you need to watch it. I need to show it to you. There's a documentary called Beyond the Mat. It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. It's basically this guy follows around various wrestlers and just films them.
Yeah.
And one of the best segments from that film is Spike Dudley. Do you remember his part?
Mm-mm.
He's standing there after a match. He's got a gash.
Yeah.
Blood pouring down his face. And they asked him what he did before that. And he said he was an English teacher. As he's wiping blood off, he starts quoting famous literature. I don't remember what it was. Maybe Shakespeare even. As he's just wiping the blood that's pouring down his face.
It can be a tough watch in certain spots.
It's the Jake the Snake stuff especially.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. Yeah, that's crazy. And the Dudleys are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they had to be Team 3D because the WWE retained the rights to the Dudley Boys name.
They couldn't get the Dudley name back until they went back to WWE.
Yeah.
Which when Christian left, he at least coined the name Christian Cage, which was his old indie name.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't be Christian, but he could be Christian Cage.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy, too. Deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, AJ was supposed to... I bounce around. AJ was supposed to be low card. They now see him as a top five guy.
Yeah.
Which they absolutely should. And if he doesn't have a title reign at some point, you're wasting your money on AJ Styles.
But at the same time, though, frickin' Vince.
Frickin' Vince, frickin' Stephanie, frickin' Triple H, Kevin Dunn.
Really, it'll have to be once Triple H and Stephanie fully take over. But, like, because right now it's just... Vince is just a lightning rod for all the stuff that goes wrong and like all the asinine decisions that are made. It all just sounds like stuff Vince would do.
Yeah. And Triple H, I think, is going to be better for the company than Stephanie will.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the part where you turn down your system for a few seconds because you're not going to want to hear this next part if you don't like controversy. What Triple H needs to do is he needs to keep Stephanie barefoot and pregnant so that way she can't run the organization.
Can you finish the sentence?
I can't. Not if you ask me.
I don't like that sentence.
Tanner liked that joke.
I doubt it.
She's standing in a bucket.
God damn it. one thing that isn't on your list, because I only just now remembered it. So at WrestleCon, the WrestleMania weekend, Jimmy Snuka. Who is too mentally incompetent to be able to stand trial for the murder of a woman, will be making an appearance. Now, one of two things is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Snuka is a monster who's taken a payday to make a public appearance while pretending to be cognitively not all there so he can answer for a murder. Or some friggin' sleazebag, disgusting promoter.
What kind of despicable...
is wheeling out mentally incompetent Jimmy Snuka to sign autographs and take pictures with people.
Both are equally acceptable and believable because I remember with Scott Hall at his lowest point. Oh, mm-hmm. it's horrible to watch. They bring Scott Hall out for a show. He's so drunk and drugged out of
the ring.
He can't get in the ring. He can't even taunt. They have to hold him up so he can kind of move a little bit.
Yeah.
Crowd's cheering. Everybody's going nuts. Like it's the greatest thing they've seen.
Yeah.
The exploitation on display is disgusting.
Yeah.
So I could absolutely see them bringing in Jimmy Snuka, who doesn't have the mental capacity to say no or yes.
Yeah. Just whoever's in charge of like his estate or his well-being or whatever is like, oh yeah, wheel him out. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's just going to go out there and wave
a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs the money. He has legal trouble. Sure, he needs the money. But I could also see that he's
just taking a payday.
Yeah, because Vince McMahon already protected him once from the trial.
Yeah.
So he probably thinks that he doesn't have to answer for his crimes. So either way, it's disgusting.
Yeah. So I wanted to throw that in there because I remember I didn't write it in.
That's a terrible story to share with us. But thank you. Speaking of old, just real quick, because you had this written down, it is the 14-year anniversary of John Cena starting with WWE, right?
Yeah, there's a couple big anniversaries this week.
Yeah, you got three of them listed here. Cena's 14-year anniversary, which is amazing in itself because I remember the first time I saw John Cena, I think it's when everyone saw John Cena, he came out to answer Kurt Angle's
I legitimately thought you were about to do Ready to Rumble.
No.
Thought you were about to do, I remember, like everybody, John Cena's.
He was in Ready to Rumble.
On-screen debut, yeah. He was one of the random workout guys in the background.
But no, I remember him coming out and confronting Kurt Angle when Kurt Angle was like, I'll take anybody on. Mm-hmm. And then backstage, and at the time, I didn't think anything of it. I just thought they're trying to get a new character over. Let's see how well it goes. Because they do this all the time. But backstage, The Undertaker meets him and basically says, you know, you got the goods. And shakes his hand. And when The Undertaker shakes your hand, especially at that time period, you're golden.
This was Big Evil. Well, not Big Evil, but it was...
Biker Taker. Yeah. So that was incredible. And John Cena, for all of the crap we give him, I don't think any of us has ever taken away the fact that he is a legitimate golden boy.
Yeah. He'll go down as one of the all-time greats.
And he should. Yeah. He deserves it. Not only is he good in the ring, because he is, mm-hmm. he's also a charitable person. Like, so insane the amount of time he devotes to charity. He's also, he comes back from injuries at, why are you laughing at me?
No, when you, because when you say,
I'm trying to make a point, but Ace and Allie both start giggling, so I'm like, oh God, what did I do now?
No, you didn't, it wasn't you, I swear, it was, you talk about charitable, you're clearly talking about the Make-A-Wish.
Yes.
He has the record for most wishes given by an individual.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, but it reminded me, I think it was a kayfabe news headline of Roman Reigns passes John Cena in Make-A-Wish. Wishes after his suspension. tops record of most wishes granted after his announcement of suspension.
That's almost as bad as the Onion article about the T-ball game.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to repeat, by the way.
I was laughing because there was an interview with John Cena once, you know, because of the whole, like, John Cena meme on the internet. He's like, so I'll be watching a video and all of a sudden my face will just pop up and my music.
Yeah, no, he's a legit cultural icon.
I'd love to see that, by the way, if there was a Shannon Young
just
meme.
All of a sudden, just suddenly Shannon.
Yeah, it'd have to be a big wall.
Unexpected Shannon.
Unexpected Shannon. That'll give you nightmares. That's nightmare fuel. But yeah, Cena's celebrating his 14 years. Congratulations to him. 18 years in... What I see written down it says 18 years Man-King H-I-A-L. And I'm trying to figure out, what's Man-King Heil?
And it's Mankind.
Is this a new wrestler I'm not aware of?
It's Mankind H-I-A-C.
Yes, which I clearly see now. But no.
My handwriting is atrocious.
Yeah, Allie, does that look like a G or a D?
Wait, what am I looking at?
Look, the 18
years. Which is a great thing for the audio.
I just want to verify. That looks like a M-A-N-K-I-N-G, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm not being too critical.
Oh, no, and again, like, I know my handwriting is terrible. But yeah, Mankind took Mankind Undertaker Hell in a Cell match where he not only got thrown off of the cell through the announce table, but then finished the match by being chokeslammed through that cell onto a chair.
From everything that they've always said is that the first spot was definitely planned, and... scary. I thought it looked scarier. But apparently that's not the worst one. The worst one was him hitting the mat and going through it. Mm-hmm. That legitimately, I remember they said that he stuck his tongue through his upper lip. There was a tooth lodged in his nose.
His tooth went up through his upper lip.
It was bad.
He talks about it in his first book, I think.
Also, there's a great part in the Beyond the Mat where they talk to Mick Foley. And especially after
The Rock did all of the chair shots when Mankind was handcuffed.
The reason they don't do chair shots to the head anymore, part of this is part of it. Mankind was cuffed. Hands behind his back.
Yeah.
And The Rock was supposed to hit him like once or twice. Mm-hmm. He ended up hitting him like 8 or 9 times in the head over and over again.
Hard.
And Mankind didn't know where he was. He didn't know what was going on. Right in front of his kids too, and his wife. It was bad.
Yeah.
That there's a reason Vince McMahon hates that documentary, even though he signed off on it originally.
Yeah.
So that's bad. So yeah, 18 years of Mankind going off the top in the Hell in the Cell, and that was the very first moment I remember seeing wrestling and going, pardon my language, holy shit.
Yeah.
What was that? And 20 years of the infamous Austin 316 promo. The only time that the WWE will tell you that they listen to the fans and react accordingly, they're talking about Austin. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's it. Because they're not talking about Ziggler. They're not talking about Dean Ambrose. They're not talking about Daniel Bryan. Maybe Daniel Bryan a little bit. But Austin was floundering. He was a nobody. He just came over from WCW where he was getting over quite well, but just got tired of it. He went to ECW, honed his craft, came to WWE as the ringmaster, which was an awful gimmick, and then did the King of the Ring tournament where he won. He kicked Jake the Snake Roberts out, and Jake the Snake, who was a born-again Christian, he said,
thump your Bible.
You quote your John 3:16.
Well, Austin 3:16 says, I just kicked your ass.
And whooped your ass.
Whooped your ass. Whooped your ass. Right.
And the next night, I'm Jesse Kimball. And on the next night, there were signs everywhere that said Austin 316, and a cultural icon was created that day. And that was one of the most infamous promos of all time.
Yeah. The WWE did a really cool thing online where they had a bunch of superstars reenact it, including The New Day, which Kofi Kingston's Austin impression is ridiculously good. Xavier Woods jumping in, and every time he has to say WWF, he would stop and Woods would just pop in E. Like, and replace it.
Now here's my friend, Mr. Black.
Gallows and Anderson did one, which, shocker to no one, but Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows can do a really good redneck impersonation.
Especially like Anderson, because he kind of looks like Stone Cold to me.
A little bit.
It's like if it's like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Like, Carl Anderson's too little to be Stone Cold. Luke Gallows is too big.
It's whichever the
ball. Stone Cold's just right.
I think it's Dash in it goes Dash in the Revival. Anderson and then Stone Cold.
Yeah. Like, and then Gallows.
And then he's the Mega Evolution.
Yeah. Final Evolution.
Final form.
You gotta use a redneck stone to...
Keystone.
Keystone. Oh my God. So those are some pretty big anniversaries. Very cool. Mm. Moving on. Brock Lesnar. Not only is he gonna wrestle at SummerSlam and also fighting
UFC 200,
Mark Hunt, I believe, at UFC 200. He's also the official cover boy for WWE 2K17. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Lesnar. I think he absolutely deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
We all, the joke's going online. Yeah, I've heard it. If for people that keep asking me, have you heard the Lesnar joke? Yes, I have. You can only use Lesnar 3 to 4 times per year, and then you have to pay extra to use him in other matches. Ha ha, very funny.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that was a really big debate about, you know, when he was WWE champion and he only made those limited appearances, like, did it hurt the industry? Did it help the industry? Like, how did it, you know, everyone has an opinion on that, which is, you know, both sides have fair points to be made. But you can't deny that Brock Lesnar, even still, is one of the biggest names WWE has.
And I think he's the most legit. Like, back in the old days, you could look at certain people and go, that's an ass kicker for real.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar is that
throwback. There's certain guys that you know, like, no one's going to mess with this person. Why would you ever want to mess with this person?
And Brock Lesnar is like the epitome of that.
Yeah.
He's the only guy in WWE now that you could look at and legitimately go, that dude looks like he, cause you know he can kick your ass.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. Like, there are plenty of guys that.
Who's number two? And this isn't confrontational. No. In your mind, who is someone you look at and go, that's a guy that looks like legit?
Luke Harper.
I'll give you that.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Randy Orton, John Cena. Like, there's a list of guys
Randy
that.
Orton.
Do you really?
I really do.
That's a whole other show. We're
never liked.
What about Rusev?
Rusev. That's a good one. Alberto Del Rio. Backstage segment where he was next to Jericho and Owens.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that was a giant of a man.
Del Rio?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's kind of like the Xavier Woods thing where he looks smaller. But then you see him sometimes and you remember, oh, that's right. He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's gigantic.
Yeah.
Because when we hung out with Xavier Woods, mm-hmm. because we all hung out with Xavier Woods, we hung out with him. We talked to him here at the store. Mm-hmm. He really did seem like just another guy.
But he also had a hoodie on.
He did. Like, I stood next to him. I stood next to Crime Time. I hung out with Crime Time once. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing Shad Gaspard. I love that name, by the way. Shad was 4,000 feet tall and this huge ball of muscle. Mm-hmm. And he was the nicest guy in the world. And then I met JTG, who was smaller than me.
It'd be like, Enzo.
Yeah. And he was a little asshole is what he was. I didn't much care for him.
Really?
No. Shad was super nice. He was kind of a jerk. Mm-hmm. Like, he was very arrogant.
Honestly, those kind of appearances, though, I could see.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Really being into.
Who wants to hang out at freaking, what was the name of the place I used to work at?
Wasn't it Stephen Berry's?
Yeah. Who wants to hang out at Stephen Berry's?
But,
not Stephen Berry.
Cause, like, I'm absolutely not taking away, cause Brock Lesnar clearly is, like, he's the number one guy of, could easily tear people apart with bare hands.
Yeah.
So he really does lend that legitimacy to it.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's one of those things where, well, he's a scripted character.
Yeah.
So.
But he could go off script.
Well, that wasn't supposed to happen, so.
Brock Lesnar wasn't supposed to suplex 5 minutes at once. The rest of the match was scripted,
But you tell him no.
Also, my favorite part is he, and this is me reading into too much stuff. I wrote this down, that they filmed his commercial in Suplex City.
Yeah.
Which is great in its own. But if you remember the Goldberg reveal, when they put him in the back of the car, he was heading to Suplex City.
Yeah.
I know it's nothing, but in my head, even though I don't want to see Goldberg versus Lesnar again, just if they do a commercial where they just confront each other.
Where they go face to face.
That's enough for me. That's enough for me.
I honestly, I think that's just the kind of the theme. Like, that was just a little nod to the reveal of Lesnar being the cover person.
Right.
You know, which they had a lot of really neat little Alberto Del Rio or Del Rio's, what was it? It was Imports and Exports.
Yeah.
Bro Kick Saloon.
Ah.
Stuff like that.
It's almost like that WWE show that they put out a couple years ago where they all had jobs. They weren't wrestlers anymore, but they still dressed
Slam
like wrestlers.
Slam City.
Never mind.
I remember the toys. I didn't see the cartoon, but I remember the toys.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on from Suplex City. And we're going to go right into, we did Cody Rhodes, Batista. We're doing real quick things here real quick. Batista. Sorry. He came out this week and said that right before Guardians of the Galaxy came out, he pitched a return to WWE.
SummerSlam, which would have been the debut weekend, I think.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Was declined by Stephanie and Triple H, who were unsure if the movie was even going to be any good or make money.
Yeah.
Allie is now leaning her head back in disgust. Yeah. Because she loves Guardians of the Galaxy.
She rolled her eyes so hard it moved her head.
Careful, they might euthanize you, like they did that one girl.
That poor teen who could only text.
And roll her eyes sarcastically. Yeah, boy, I bet they're kicking themselves
Batista,
on that.
Yeah, yeah, and this came from a pretty lengthy interview that Batista did where he really put WWE on check. Like,
on blast?
Yeah.
He threw some shade on them?
Yeah, like, I mean, the only thing that I disagreed with was how he talked about, because he talked about how it hurt his feelings that he would be putting on these really good matches with people like Dolph Ziggler. And the crowd would just chant boring and blue Tista. And like, I understand that.
Yeah.
But the way he said, like, you know, the only thing is like, that was Daniel Bryan's year.
Yeah.
I don't think people were booing him personally. It's the same thing with Rey Mysterio coming out at number 30 at the Royal Rumble.
They weren't booing Rey Mysterio.
They weren't booing Rey Mysterio. Yeah. They were booing not Daniel Bryan.
And Batista said that before. He said that was Daniel Bryan's year.
This interview kind of sounded like he almost missed that a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has said before, so statement withdrawn. Well, he talks about WWE being really difficult to work with, and
you know what's crazy is they would probably accept him back in a heartbeat. Clearly,
wait a minute.
Whoa, okay.
So,
whoa, Allie. I'm gonna put this in perspective. Not only did she wake up, but she has her hand in position.
Hand motion.
She's
about to point at a mother.
Wait a minute. So they had speculation on Guardians of the Galaxy. But they're okay with Seth Rollins being in Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens.
Hey, you know what? They were wrong about Guardians. Maybe they'll be wrong about Sharknado.
I mean, I'm just saying, Guardians of the Galaxy was the first movie in the series. If there's four Sharknados, clearly
it's an establishment.
Clearly it's an establishment. There's two Birdemics.
Oh my God.
And broken.
I'm done.
And broken.
And also part of that interview is he asked, like, they're like, okay, so John Cena is going to be the Marine. We're going to do these WWE films. Cool. Is there something I can do with it? Nah.
I don't really see you as an actor.
So I'm going to go audition for this movie outside of you guys. Oh no, you can't do that. Like, come on.
And don't feel bad for Batista because he did Guardians, which was a huge success.
He did Guardians. He did the new Bond movie.
Yeah. He's done.
I still need to see that.
I do too. Spectre?
Yeah.
I also want to see that. We should watch that sometime.
Yeah.
But yeah, Batista's done great. And there's so many more obvious, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but that there are more opportunities outside of WWE for WWE wrestlers. Mm-hmm. If you're good enough or if you're talented enough. You look at AJ Styles as a guy that left TNA and went to Japan. Did better in Japan, arguably, than he did in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And The Rock left WWE, became the biggest action star going right now.
Yeah.
By far. Statham who? Jason what? You know, screw those guys. I want The Rock. Hey, a couple more things here before we go. I thought this was a joke. And you were telling me that it's actually happening.
This is
Big Van Vader is going to fight Will Ospreay.
Yeah. So we talked. No, I'm trying to look up to see if the date has been announced yet.
Now, Big Van Vader is what, 85?
That is untrue.
I'm only saying that because there's absolutely no chance he'll see me. Because I'm terrified of Vader.
That's another guy.
Scary,
that's like,
man. Oh my God. His eye legitimately popped out of his socket when he was wrestling, and he put it back in and kept wrestling.
And finished the match.
Bam!
So if these names sound familiar to you outside of knowing who they are, we talked a couple weeks ago about the Will Ospreay Ricochet match getting a lot of people were really talking about it on Twitter, online.
Including
Vader, who really kind of kicked up the controversy because he was the one that, you know, really was the first to criticize it.
Very critical of it, yeah.
Very critical.
From an old school standpoint.
And they kind of were trading little jabs at each other back and forth. And then last week, Will Ospreay even was like, all right, let's have a match. Let's do this. Show me what, you know, teach me a lesson. And Vader's response was like, we really doing this? Like, he seemed kind of so. But now, August 12th in Revolution Pro, Big Van Vader versus Will Ospreay is going to happen.
That is insane. That's one of those matches. How do you decide a winner? Because I've seen Will Ospreay. He's very small. Big Van Vader's very large. But Big Van Vader's also really slow and old. So this is going to be such a strange match.
But he made an appearance. I think he made an appearance against Heath Slater a couple years ago.
He did.
When
he was doing the Legends Tour.
He still looked like.
He's still Vader.
Yeah.
His gut was a little bit bigger, but Vader always had a gut.
Yeah.
He was just gigantic.
Yeah.
And scary.
He looked like, I wouldn't be surprised if Vader could still just do a match.
It's Vader time.
Yeah.
It's always Vader time.
So it's going to be.
Sometimes it's high noon.
now a lot of people are questioning, like, okay, so was this feud even real at all?
Was it planned from the beginning?
Yeah. So I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see.
I want to watch it. We should watch that match. Yeah, I want to see it.
So it's Revolution Pro's Uprising event on August 12th. It's crazy how it paid off. Scott Hall did an amazing tweet too, where he's like, so you're telling me this guy worked himself into a payday? who do me and Big Kev got a tick off to get that kind of deal? And then he tweeted at the Young Bucks.
Would you like to see a Young Bucks versus Outsiders match?
Did you watch the video before it got taken down of the Young Bucks telling the Kevin Nash story?
No.
The Young Bucks and Kevin Owens talking about when they were the Young Bucks and Nash were in TNA at the same time. And the finish of the match was supposed to be, they go through the whole sequence, but it was supposed to be Kevin Nash just blindsides one of them after a hot tag and pins him. And Nick Jackson was like, hey, so, you know, or one of them was like, hey, so why don't you hit me with the jackknife? Come on, kid. It's a house show. but the story they told is they went to some indie event that Kevin Nash was there. And I guess in unwritten rules, you don't really discuss like what you were being paid.
Yeah.
By the promoter, Kevin Nash had no problems with breaking that rule, so he just completely was like talking about it, and the promoter at some, which was a lot more than what a lot of the other younger guys were getting,
right?
So apparently at one point the promoter comes up and says, "Hey, Kev, do you think maybe you could go out there, and you know, blindside the guy after the match?" Like, he wanted him to do kind of a post match angle,
yeah,
just to do a thing, and he just looks up, he's like, "For another $5,000," and the guy agreed to it. And Kevin Owens even asked, like, did he have, like, I'll do it. Like, he was surprised that he got it, and they're like, no. Like, he just knew that. So that's what they started doing. Like, TNA would ask him to do something. They're like, yeah, for another $5,000.
Kevin Nash, if anything, is smart.
Oh, yeah.
So smart.
Oh, 100%.
I've never been a huge Kevin Nash fan, but so smart. Works the business better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
Can't seem to work walking though. Hurts himself a lot.
That was hilarious. The Outsiders versus the Young Bucks. Like, of course I would watch that match. I'd probably do it
with your hand.
My eyes like
a Bob
movie.
Looking at the girl through the window. Just little cracks.
Stop it.
You know.
I'm not talking.
And we got one more thing to talk about, and we got to head out of here.
And this is the biggest thing for me.
It is
outside of Roman Reigns. The way WWE handled that.
Yeah. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG, is doing their Battle of Los Angeles tournament.
The BOLA.
They've done it.
By the way, do you know where Battle of Los Angeles comes from?
I'm staying quiet so you can tell me.
It was an incident that happened during World War II, I believe, where something was spotted over LA and everybody lost their shit. And there's one picture of the incident that shows all of these spotlights and guns shooting up at this object that's sort of highlighted. They said it was I believe it was a weather balloon, but no one can explain why so much of the military fired at it and could not bring it down. This is a legitimate thing that happened. I will show you the picture after the show. Huh. Please go on.
This is the this started in 2005. This is the 11th or 12th.
As old as you, Allie.
This is the 12th event. It's turned into arguably one of the biggest wrestling events in the entire America's, like, North American independent wrestling scene. And they have, it's going to be September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in California. But they've started listing off names. The first, as of tonight, just earlier, a couple hours ago, they announced the 14th, 15th, and 16th name, which I think we already talked about the first one, and I'm going to ring off the names.
Just read off the entire thing, yeah.
The first one being huge, Cody Rhodes was the first announced participant. I think we talked about that on an earlier show.
Yeah.
But still, that's awesome. I'm going to get this just so wrong. Kama Taichi?
Don't look at me.
I don't know. He's
Calvin
number two.
Knows Japanese, not me.
Number three is Jeff Cobb. Who is
Jeff Cobb?
Jeff Cobb, who is currently in Lucha Underground as like a big monster. I think he might actually be the Lucha Underground champion right now.
Wow. Did they have Jumpin' Jeff Farmer?
No, unfortunately, as a Matanza Cueto. I think is how you say that. Number four, Mark Haskins. Number five, who I'm super excited about because I love him, Dalton Castle.
Yes, the Peacock.
The boys. Dalton Castle is amazing. If you don't know who that is,
fantastic.
YouTube Dalton Castle.
His entrance alone.
Is
alone, yeah.
Number six, Pete Dunne.
The only good Dalton.
The only good Dalton. Number seven, Sammy Callahan, who wrestled in NXT briefly. Solomon Crowe.
I'm a big Sammy Callahan fan, too. So yeah. I'm glad to see that.
Tommy End, who just recently they announced is going to be heading to NXT, presumably after this summer, and he finishes up some of his independent dates. Mm-hmm. Really excited to see more from him, because the little bit that I've seen after they announced him, I'm initially a fan right off the bat, my first instinct. Number nine, former X Division champion as of recently, Trevor Lee. Number 10, Adam Cole. Also rumors of him going to Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah.
Rumors of him going to WWE sometime soon, which again, like NXT, please. Yes.
Only.
Number 11, John Hennigan, John Morrison.
Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo and Lucha Underground. Number 12, Jack Gallagher.
Gallagher. Did you say Black Gallagher?
Jack Gallagher.
Okay. Well, you had my hopes up. I heard that guy's got warrants.
Why?
It's a Chappelle Show skit. Don't look at me.
I know. I'm making it awkward. It's
I know.
Fun. Number 13, Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno in NXT, but you better know who Chris Hero is if you're listening to this. Like, how do you not? Number 14, Mark Andrews. Number 15, Ricochet, aka Prince Puma. And number 16, Matthew Riddle.
You know, they originally wanted Chris Hero to be the third man in the Shield.
The CM Punk did.
Yeah.
If you listen to CM Punk, he had the idea for
Hero, Seth Rollins,
Hero,
and
Seth
Ambrose.
Rollins and Dean Ambrose. And then instead of, but they used Roman Reigns instead of Chris Hero.
To be fair, I think they called, it was the right call. Because I think Roman Reigns in the Shield was good.
Oh, yeah, he was great. Like, yeah. Roman Reigns, that was, you know, arguably one of the best versions of Roman Reigns, just that silent ass kicker. Like, people couldn't get enough of him.
Right. He was, yes, super popular.
It's almost like that he wasn't the focal point. He wasn't the main, he wasn't the main focus being pushed down people.
It's kind of like when Goldberg just came out and beat people up and pinned them and the crowd cheered. And then they tried to give him a personality and have him hang out with Goldust and Booker T. Crowd didn't cheer as much anymore.
Yeah.
Weird.
But look who they had him hanging out with. Not taking, and I don't mean that as a shot at Booker T or Goldust.
I gave him a look.
I know, like, because I love both of those guys. Like, Booker T is a wrestler.
But should not be doing comedy bits with Goldberg.
Yeah, like, that's just, especially that when they were the tag team, like, they were a comedy duo.
Yeah.
They were not treated with the respect that they
the legends deserve.
Been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Booker T coming off of being the 5-time WCW champion, or I guess 4-time at that point.
Yeah.
The coming off being one of the biggest names in WCW to almost immediately be paired with Goldust and then throw Goldberg in that is, yeah, this.
I'm doing the Harrison Ford gif. No.
So, yeah.
So Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Battle of Los Angeles. It's going to be September 2, 3, and 4. Is it 4th or Ford?
4th.
4th.
You fool.
Why would it be Ford?
That might actually end up being the full roster.
That's 15, or is that 16 people?
That's 16 people. I don't know if they usually do 16. No, okay, so just a couple years ago, they did a 24.
So it could be more people added
to
it.
So there could be more people to it. The way that it's been growing, I would absolutely think that there would be more added.
Right.
There's a couple guys that I would be really excited to see, but I don't know, depending on what the, like, I would love to see a Kenny Omega.
This is why I love those events. the independent stuff like that, or the King trios, of King of Trios.
And Chikara.
I love seeing just the various teams that you love from the indies, from different, you know, organizations coming together and doing this stuff. I'm sad that you'll never see a particularly WWE or TNA style wrestler in there because, again, who do you have when?
How great would that be though? Like, and honestly, I think they would be with the work that WWE, especially NXT,
especially
and Triple
NXT,
H. The work that they've put in with like companies like Evolve.
Right.
You know, if it's up
Dragon's
to
Gate.
If you leave it up to Triple H, I honestly would not be surprised that after Triple H is in charge, you don't see a team WWE go to King of Trios, or you don't have someone represent WWE in Ebola. They're not gonna send team WWE as John Cena, Randy Orton, and Roman Reigns.
Right. But for an event like that, guys like Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, guys that are lower to mid could really clean up in something like that, you know?
Yeah. And I think part of it now is Vince's ego not letting outsiders beat his guys.
Right.
Look at the invasion angle.
Yeah.
Enough said. But whereas Triple H, like, you could do a lot of, you know, it could almost double as like a scouting thing. It could do like, hey, have a tryout match in this like 6-man tag with these guys. You know, put someone that you know and trust and enter Dolph Ziggler into the Battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see that. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but it's definitely not something that Vince would allow.
So you're waiting for Vince to die.
In as many words. As many words.
I think that's a good way to wrap it up. Unless you got something else on that Ebola.
No.
No?
No. Okay. Ebola.
All right. Then we're going to call it a night. We're only 10 minutes over.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. And to think we were talking about shortening the shows. See what happens. Just a quick reminder, kids, next week we're going to be off the entire week in celebration of the 4th of July. I don't know if Nerd Up is going to do a show. I still need to talk to Jesse. But any show that I am hosting, unless one of you guys want to host it,
no.
Okay then.
If anything huge, I actually was thinking about this and I meant to talk to you about earlier about it. If something big happens,
we could do a special. Yeah.
We might do a special. We might just turn it into a Blogzilla post.
Yeah. Because we're going to revamp that pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on it on my week off. But we're going to do that next week. So you're going to have a week off from us. We're going to have a week off from you. And we need it.
Yeah, fans.
John Shenfield.
Really?
No, he's a good guy. I'm so appreciative. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I just want to give him another shout out. Aaron Powell.
Aaron Picard.
Oh,
what's he going to do? What's he going to do without being able to ask his questions?
I'm going
to
give him my cell phone number so he can just call me directly and just say, hey, man, what do you think about...
I want to know what he wore to jury duty.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to see you tomorrow. We got one more show. Tanner Thursday. We're going to put the Tanner back in Tanner Thursday. Make Tanner Thursdays great
again.
Yeah, make it Tanner again. Thank you guys for listening. Allie, can I get a ride home?
Yeah.
Good night.